You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. You can find old episodes of both of my podcasts, along with my blog, and information on all of my upcoming comedy shows. And if you're looking for a comedian for your next event, you can contact me through my website as well. Again, abcomedy.net. And if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to it, and please leave us a good review. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode for you every single Wednesday. Thank you so much for supporting me, and I hope you enjoy the show. You get that warm, fuzzy, nostalgic feeling right now, too, don't you? Oh, man. When I record the intros to this thing, I'll usually let the music play on my computer, and then I'll stop it where the words are going to kick in so that I've got it like right in the moment. And I listened to that about 4 times before I started recording this. Like, poof, just the train and cloud and the Midgard. Oh, man. What is up? Welcome back to Remember the Game, episode 12. Final Fantasy VII. I don't think there's a person listening to this podcast that hasn't played that game. If there is, I am shocked. What can you say? It's probably one of the most historic video games ever made, I would think. I had such a hard time just coming up with the music for this episode. I listened to so many songs and I was so torn. I was going to play the theme from the infamous scene with Aerys, Aerith, whatever you want to call her. I was going to play the Sephiroth music, the part where he's walking through the fire. Finally, I was like, dude, everyone knows that opening. Not everyone has gotten very far into the game, but everyone has played that intro where Cloud jumps off the train and tags up with Barret and whoo, Final Fantasy VII. Honestly, I've got some mixed opinions on this game, and you are about to hear them. Some good, some bad. My buddy Tyler is back. We reviewed Mega Man X a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to waste your time. I'm just going to get right to the podcast, you guys. Grab a drink, sit back, relax, and join Tyler and I as we reminisce about the legend and the myth. I guess it's not a myth. It's just a lit. Fuck, how would I screw these intros every week? Let's talk some Final Fantasy VII, you guys. Here we go. God. Okay, so first and foremost, we'll get this out of the way. Spoiler alert. Okay, do you call her Aerith or Aerith? Or Aerith?
I always renamed her after the girl that I was pining over who would spurn my affection because I knew she was going to die. Like, fuck this. Fuck her.
Well, whatever you want to call her, because I think in Japan it was Aerith.
Yeah, there was a I remember reading something. It was Eris here, and it was like a weird translation thing.
Yeah,
the th or something like that didn't translate properly.
Okay, well, I know I said spoiler about 30 seconds ago, but spoiler: she fucking dies. Yeah. She dies at the end of the first disc. At the time, the most shocking thing to ever happen in a video game, probably.
Absolutely, especially if you built a balanced team.
Fuck, dude. Have you ever seen her other than watching it on a video? I've never seen her like Maximum Limit Break because I never leveled her up that much.
I got her close, and I had a buddy who did. Like, he was obsessive. Like, you know, he beat the game. He had everything perfect. I beat the game. I think I was level 64, and, I had Neo Bahamut as my most powerful.
Oh, you never had Knights of the Round?
Oh, I got it later in a different playthrough. Okay. My first playthrough, I was, like, level 64. Neo Bahamut was, like, my max materia, and my buddy was like, how did you beat the game?
Yeah,
you were,
no
like,
shit.
A fart in the wind compared to
that. I don't know about yourself. I probably have not played Final Fantasy VII in 15 years.
2002, 2001, right around there. That's when I played it.
When it came out?
Because it came out in like 97.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I was in high school when it came out, yeah.
Yeah, it was the reason to get a PlayStation. I was like, what's the new system? I'm a Nintendo guy. Fuck the PlayStation. Yeah. And then saw the preview for that and was like, oh, okay, never mind.
I'm sure that 3/4 of the people listening to this podcast know exactly what you're saying because they went through the same thing.
Oh, the commercial where it shows Cloud on the bike and it shows him standing there with the big sword. And I think it shows Meteor coming,
right?
Like, or Meteor or however you say it, right?
Yeah,
like the Doomsday Meteor coming. And it basically just showed that. And I was like, oh no, I think I've experienced a nerd boner for the first time. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was fucking, I remember I don't really remember commercials. I remember reading about it in gaming magazines. Mm-hmm. And I was the same. I was a loyal Nintendo kid. Nintendo 64, it's all I fucking need. And
especially with games like GoldenEye, you know, the 64 Mario Kart.
The wrestling games, like, yeah, dude.
No, I'm not going to criticize you for
that's
that.
Fine.
But
I loved it. Like, I enjoyed those games. But then I remember my friend Mike Webb. And I don't know if Mike listens to this or not. If he does, hey, Mike.
If he doesn't, Mike, we're coming for you.
We're coming for you, Mike. we would buy those gaming magazines and we would just like ogle over Final Fantasy VII for hours and be like, look at this. Like, because until then, especially back in like very, because that was very prime or very, very preliminary internet days. Like, it was first internet.
Yeah, so it's dial up to look at anything on the internet. Like, a picture was 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, each line.
Yeah. Like, I had played Final Fantasy II on the Super Nintendo and I had seen Final Fantasy III. I never played it. And then all of a sudden it was Final Fantasy VII. So part of it was like, where the fuck are 4, 5, and 6? But then the much bigger part of it was like, holy crap, look at this game.
Oh, yeah.
It looks, I mean, obviously it's easy now to look back at those polygon graphics and be like, this is fucking hideous. But in those days, that was like,
yeah,
mind boggling.
Well, especially, so the way they did it was they had pre-rendered backgrounds, right? So they had these really like, it's almost like, you ever watch the Miyazaki animes? He's the guy who does like Spirited Away or Princess Mononoke.
No.
So they're Disney distributes those ones. Those are two really big ones in the Western world. But what he does is he like pre-paints all the backgrounds and then just the characters are animated over.
Okay.
So you have these really, really, really super detailed backgrounds.
And they were beautiful, yeah.
And then these like, you know, they seem somewhat less, but you know, less detailed animated characters moving over top of them. I think that's how a lot of animation works, actually.
Yeah, yeah,
in
sure.
In hindsight, I'm comparing it to like a really obscure reference, but
right.
Final Fantasy does that same thing, Seven, where the backgrounds were all pre-rendered. So, you know, you can only interact. That's why everything that you can interact with kind of pops out.
Yeah, it was
right?
easy to tell. Yeah, yeah. Right? Like the treasure chests and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But because you did that, all of a sudden you have 3D characters. You have these really detailed backgrounds that are just, you know, doomy and gloomy, like the steampunk, you know, before steampunk was really a cool thing, right?
Yeah. it was like they were cool looking, and then dude, and then you get to the cutscenes, and like
freaking arms or barbells or whatever. I don't know. It still looked cool back then. Like, you know, it captivated my imagination.
Absolutely,
right?
It was easier to imagine what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of use your imagination, but you could imagine what they were supposed to look like.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the picture of the guys that went to the Comic Con dressed up as the like polygonal Final Fantasy VII characters?
No, but that's mint.
Like their arms are blocks, their head are blocked. Like it looks awesome, but they look just like the Final Fantasy VII.
So good.
But then we go to the cutscenes, and you could see what they were supposed to look like, and it was like, wow. Like to this day, some of those cutscenes are dope.
Oh yeah,
but back then they were like, they were mind blowing, man.
Because that's some of the first CG like kind of pre-rendered cutscenes. That's the I'm not going to say it's the first game to do that,
right?
Because there's probably one or two maybe PC games that have done that,
sure,
right around that era. But it's one of the first mainstream ones.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it and I don't often get into like the like behind the scenes like news and stuff when it comes to this podcast. But like I do know for a fact that with Final Fantasy VII, it was initially going to be a Nintendo 64 game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they were like, yo, like, this isn't going to work on your cartridges, like, at all. It was three discs, right? Like, it was three. It was the first game I ever owned that was more than one disc. And I was like, wow. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was three discs, but they were like, it's not going to work on carts. And they ended up going over to the PlayStation with it. Like, makes you wonder if Nintendo hadn't decided to go with cartridges for the 64 and they had just gone right to discs.
Squaresoft would have. I think it was still Squaresoft then, right? Like it wasn't Square Enix yet.
I don't think so. I think it was Squaresoft still.
Yeah, they would have probably stayed with Nintendo. Like, that's one of the title companies that made Sony.
Dude, the Final Fantasy VII.
The only reason I bought a Sony PlayStation was for VII.
I think a lot of people would. I think I did too. I think a lot of people would say that it. And it's funny because like, and we'll get into this a little bit more, but like, I think Final Fantasy VII is slightly overrated. I think that what it accomplished, we'll get into that more. Like what it accomplished is great, but I wouldn't put it in my three favorite Final Fantasy games.
If we include all Squaresoft games, it doesn't make the list for me.
Oh yeah, no, if you include all of them, then it's getting further down, but it's fourth or fifth on my depth chart just for the Final Fantasy games. We'll get into that.
What do you put above it?
We'll get into that in a second. But I do think that like what it did, like I don't care what anyone says, Final Fantasy VII put the PlayStation on the map. Mm-hmm. It was a system seller. And like when I think back to playing the original PlayStation, I think of Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
I think of Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Because that's where I played my Tony Hawk games. Oh God, I played a lot of Tony Hawk.
That's why I started skateboarding.
Was it the Tony Hawk games?
Yeah, I had tried skateboarding like the Bart Simpson days, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be a badass. And then I had like the, you know, I didn't even have the properly cut skateboard. I had like the 80s style skateboard with the plastic like guards on it so you didn't wreck the art on the board.
The one lip, like it only had the one side.
Just brutal.
Like the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah. And then playing Tony Hawk was like, oh, now I'm going to do this actually because it's badass.
Right. Like that's what I think of when I think of the PlayStation. I think of Crash. I think of Tony Hawk. I think of Metal Gear Solid. And I think of Final Fantasy VII. And those are some huge.
Resident Evil.
I never played them. I think of them now, but I didn't play them back then.
Yeah, that was like the
those
second
were big
title.
Too. Yeah,
and
those
then
were
I
big
was
too.
Probably, what? I probably wasn't too young. I got scared playing those as a kid.
Dude, like, yeah, they're scary games.
Me and my buddy Sean would stay up and play the Resident Evil and then just like, you know, all of a sudden we're screaming. My parents were like, what the fuck
But it was like, it was, yeah, Final Fantasy VII. I would love to see someone that has never played one of those, like a kid, like my nephew that's like 12.
Yeah.
And try to sit him down and show him Final Fantasy VII and have him just be like, what is this? Because I was like, this was
the top.
The thing back then. Like, it was, I mean, not only were the characters cool and like the story was great, the graphics for the time were incredible. It was three discs, which was a huge, to this day, it's a big game. Like, it's a long game.
Yeah. I think my first playthrough was like 70 hours or something.
I believe that.
Yeah, right around there.
And then, like, I remember getting my mom to print off a player's guide at work, and it was like a binder.
Yeah.
Like, it was so big because there was so much. Because if you wanted to do everything, if you wanted to defeat all the weapons, get all the materia, all that stuff, it was a lot to do in that game.
So after my first playthrough, I printed off a walkthrough.
Okay.
And, you know, it was, I think it was like 100 pages. My dad was pissed because I used up an ink cartridge at home. Like, he's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, man, I suck at this game. I need help. Well, just play it. No, it doesn't work like that. There's secrets everywhere. Like, I don't fucking know.
And there was so much to, like, it was, it was a lot to do. Like, so, the okay, let's do the rankings quickly. Then we'll go to, just want to forget.
Yeah.
So, I don't know exactly what order I would put them in, but for me, it's 4, 6, and 9 are the top three Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, okay. I didn't like 4.
Oh, my God.
So 4, is that 2 in North America? Yeah. Right.
That's the first RPG I ever played.
Actually, no, I did like that one. I like the whole, like, betrayal and that stupid villain, that clown guy.
The clown guy?
Yeah, well, he's like a jester kind of guy. Isn't it like the main villain? In, oh, that
no, that's 6. That's 6. Kefka, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Kefka's the greatest villain ever. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another reason that 7... Okay, 7 goes behind 4, 6, and 9, at least for me.
Yeah.
That said, Sephiroth is a 1B to Kefka's 1A. I do put Kefka ahead of him slightly because
Kefka, he was creepy.
Kefka, like my buddy Mick said on the podcast we did about it, Kefka was the Joker.
Yeah.
Like he was creepy. The perfect Joker.
Yeah.
But Sephiroth is such a badass villain.
So in 4, who's the villain? Is it your dad?
It was Golbez.
Right.
But then Golbez turns out to have been under control. I can't remember the name of the... I'll have to look it up because I'm doing a podcast about it soon. I haven't played it in a while.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Golbez was the villain for a while, but then he doesn't end up being the villain. It ends up being somebody else.
And
Golbez ends up being Cecil's brother.
Oh, okay.
Like, kind of Star Wars-y style.
Yeah. That's... Okay. Yeah, I kind of remember that. Yeah. Like, I didn't play a whole bunch of that.
Where...
I played 6.
Sure. Which was great. Which is fucking great. Like, for me, 4 and 6 are the two greatest Final Fantasies.
Well, and I liked 9 a lot.
I really enjoyed 9.
Because I felt like it brought it back to the fantasy. I felt like 7 and 8 were... I liked 7 a lot. Like I said, I do too. It's genre defining, and it's on my list of top 3. But it's 6, 7, and 9.
Okay.
Not in that order.
Yeah,
just,
no, same thing.
Just those are the three
like,
that I like.
7 would probably be my number 4 after 4, 6, and 9. Like, I think most diehard Final Fantasy fans would have those 4 games in the top 4.
Right. If
or
you
at
open
least
up,
3 of them.
If you open up to all of Squaresoft, Chrono Trigger bumps 7
sure.
off the list.
Yeah.
I think Chrono Trigger was just so much better.
I think 7 gets a little bit of love based on what it accomplished.
Yeah.
That said, looking back on it, it was dope. And I will say to this day that there are characters in 7 that are my favorite. So, like, my favorite character of all time is Shadow from 6, because he's awesome. Fucking but, like, ninja. Like, but, like, Cloud is probably my favorite main protagonist in any Final Fantasy game.
Because he doesn't necessarily have, like, a character model, so you can envision yourself as him more.
Because
he doesn't talk a lot.
No.
Like and his story is, like, he's a clone.
So, yeah.
You know, you get to kind of, like, be like, oh, you know, I can fill the gap that is his personality.
Because, like, at the beginning of the game, he comes across as this, like, badass. Mm-hmm. And then you find and realize that, like, he's a failure.
Yeah.
And that's why he kind of became a badass. And you realize, like, he's, like, a fraud who's trying to be this Zack guy.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know what I mean? Because
well,
he was a failure.
Accidental fraud.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't know. He doesn't have memories.
No,
right?
He doesn't. I found that storyline kind of confusing as a kid. Like, until I could get online and kind of read more about it, I was like, what exactly is going on here? Who is this guy?
So my buddy Brandon's a game developer at BioWare, right?
Okay.
And I was bitching at him one day. I was like, Final Fantasy VII doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's hard to follow.
You're a fucking clone. What are these little glass balls? You summon a giant fucking dragon. Like, what the fuck is this? And he was like, man, you just don't get it. And I was like, fuck you, fucking industry guy.
I still find it, like, I would have to sit down and, like, and again, that's part of this podcast, is it's off the top of your head, but, like, it's still kind of foggy to me. But, like, I do remember, so they used to infuse their soldiers with, what was it called, Mako?
Yeah, and, the Mako energy.
Yeah. And so Sephiroth.
And that's, like, the lifeblood of the planet.
Right. And so Sephiroth was, like, their, like, ace soldier.
Right.
And then Zack was, like, his, like, sidekick kind of, right? Or like kind of like another one of their
apprentice.
Yeah, okay, that's a good word, apprentice. Yeah. And then Cloud was just like, because Cloud, as you end up finding out, was like one of the like the fucking
the
pawns.
He's
like
one of the
blue.
The first guys you beat in the game. Like you get those two soldiers come up to the train track.
Yeah.
He was one of those
guys.
That's
what he was. He was just like a grunt.
Yeah.
And then Sephiroth goes crazy because he realizes that he's like a science experiment.
And yeah, he's a descent or like a clone of the ancients, right?
So then he kills Zack.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and Cloud is Zack's friend.
Yeah.
Cloud gets Zack out of there or something, and then Zack dies.
Right.
And then Cloud ends up taking over Zack. Like,
I think Cloud dies as well. And then he's like a clone of...
Maybe.
And it's like a mix of their DNA, maybe.
See, it's a hard game to follow. It is.
Right. And I don't remember clearly.
Right.
I remember there was something where he was like, the reason he loses his memories and has like, thinks he's Zack is because he was a clone, I thought.
There's somebody listening to this right now like, you fucking idiots, Cloud is there. But it was like, at the end of the day, he's a cool character. I like it.
Yeah.
Like, the thing I like the most about this game and this story is that like, there's no question
by the time, like, there kind of is a question at first, because at first you think you're trying to bring down Shinra. Yeah. And then you realize, like, no, Shinra's not even, like, we got to stop Sephiroth, because yeah. Sephiroth wants to destroy the world.
Well, they both are destroying the world, but Shinra's like, you know, they're playing the long game. They're fucking it up by being a greedy corporation.
Right.
Yeah, we can always stop them later. Sephiroth's like, bitch, now. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, and then Shinra, like, hits the point where, like, Shinra, like, kind of joins you, right? Because they try to attack Sephiroth, and they lose.
Yeah.
They end up releasing all the weapons or whatever the fuck it is, and then those things are going crazy.
Right.
But what I like about this game is that you can take your party, your main party, the main characters that you play as, and it's so obvious that for whatever reason, they're all like, yo, we got to stop this fucking guy, right?
Yeah,
like,
your group of eco-terrorists.
Right, because Cloud's cool. I actually like Barrett.
He was one of the characters I used to the end game. I like the idea of the gun arm. Gun arm. Oh, that's so cool. Because in all the other Final Fantasies up to that point, it's all fantasy.
Like, sure. I think they kind of, not by any faults of their own, I think they do the best they can. I do think they kind of missed the mark at making him what they're trying to fully make Barrett. Because I think, like, in full out Barrett, like, I'm with this remake, which we'll fucking talk about at the end.
The remake they've been remaking.
Oh,
forever.
Fuck. I hope that Barrett is like that. Cause, like, when I think of Barrett, I think of, like, this fucking big, deep voice, got a temper, like, let's fucking go. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. And that's where
you're picturing Terry Crews.
Yeah, yeah. But Terry, like, Crews, not smiley, like, Terry Crews, no, but, like, no, no. Like, fucking let's go, Terry Crews.
Muscles, Terry Crews.
That's what I think of when I think of Barrett, you know? Yeah. And they try to get there.
Yeah.
I like Tifa. I think she's cool, like Cloud's sweetheart, right? Like, that's cool. I really do like the character of Aerith a lot. Yeah. I think she's become part of, like, Final Fantasy lore.
Yeah.
And like her character is so necessary. Because the whole point is, like, if Sephiroth didn't kill her, she could have stopped him.
Easily.
Right? Like, she had the ability to just cast.
The potential.
To cast Holy, I think it was.
Yeah.
And stop the whole thing. And so Sephiroth wiped her out. And
right. Which, she, like, was the only threat.
Yeah. And it was like, and you lost characters. Like, I played Final Fantasy 2 or 4 quite a few times, and you do lose characters throughout that game. They die. But, like,
well, that fucking ninja.
Yeah. But, like, to have this dude, the main villain, drop out of the sky and just stab the heart of your team in heart, and then you're like, you're expecting her to come back, and then it's like, no, she's gone. Like, what? She's not coming back.
So, and I won't spoil this yet, because you're playing through Chrono Trigger for the first time.
Yes,
right,
don't
now.
Say anything about Chrono Trigger right
I
now.
I won't spoil anything.
But I loved that, dude. Like, at the time, it was so shocking.
But like you said, you expect to be able to bring her back, you know, especially with a Phoenix down. Like, what? I don't get it. I have these Phoenix down. You bring everybody back to life.
You know, because, like, dude, like, I don't know if you fell down. Okay, well, I'll finish the characters, and then we'll get into this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have Aerith. She's cool. Tifa's cool. There is it Kate Sith? Is that how you say it? Kat Sith?
Yeah,
I fucking hate him. I fucking hate him. He's like a fucking spy for Shinra.
I never used him.
No, nobody uses him. He fucking sucks.
I wanted a Mogul, like the little is kind of like a cartoony version of. Like, I wanted an actual Mogul.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's bullshit.
I think he sucks. Red 13's cool.
Yeah, he's probably the most badass.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, he's second badass.
Okay.
Yuffie is kind of take or leaver. Yeah. Vincent's cool. I don't really use him.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I find that he's kind of a fucking hinder to use.
He's emo.
Yeah.
You know,
he is. But I love his whole gimmick and, like, trying to get him and stuff. I think
the limit break.
Yeah.
His limit breaks were cool. Like, turning into Frankenstein's monster. Yeah. To Dracula. Yeah. Like, he kind of had, like, a cool
nuance. That he's, like, locked in this basement. Yeah. And you have to, like, go down and, like, dig him out and find him. And then he'll, like, eventually join you. It is cool.
Can you miss him?
You can. You can miss him, and you can miss Yuffie are the two that you don't have to get.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know you could miss Yuffie, because she steals all your material.
She does steal all your material a little bit.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Bitch. And then there's Cid. And for me, Cid, I love Cid from Final Fantasy. I know there's a Cid in everyone. Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Cid is the best.
So, like, you know the MCU multiverse, right?
Yes.
Cid's, like, the one guy who like, fulfills that role in the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is.
He's like, everybody else is kind of has their story, but I'm the guy. He's the god character who's in every story, right?
He's, dude, and I like a lot of the Cids, but Final Fantasy VII Cid is my favorite.
Oh,
easily. He's an asshole, mm-hmm. but, like, you can tell that, like, he's not an asshole. There's a good guy there. Because his, like, I love his story the most of all the stories. Because his, except maybe Cloud's, that I don't quite understand. Because Cid's whole story is that he wanted to go into space.
Yeah.
And then his wife kind of, like, fucked it up. And now he's just this guy who spends his days...
Blue-collar working guy, you know.
Dreaming about going to space, because that was what he wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when he joins you, like, he's such a... Because he's got that, like, oh, fuck off to him, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that anti-hero attitude.
Yeah, right? And when you lose Cloud for a while, they make Cid the leader.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy. I'm like, that's really cool.
Well, and above Barrett and above, like, Tifa, who, you know, like, Barrett was the leader... originally
of Avalanche, right?
But and then, he just recognizes this, you know,
Cid's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's
the guy who can fix anything.
Yeah,
we better make him the leader.
So they're a cool team, and it's a I really enjoy the cast of characters in this one. Outside of Sith, he can go fuck himself. Now, did you fall down the wormhole of trying to revive Aeris? Because I did for quite a long time.
Oh yeah, I thought that, well, especially I put time in, she was my healer.
Right.
So when you build a party in those games, usually you kind of like want to have a brawler, especially when you played six, you kind of have that like idea that you want different types of damage.
Right.
Or if you, you'll find out in Chrono Trigger, this isn't really a spoiler, but you want each character has a different magical.
Yeah. They're elements, right? Element. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Right. So you want to have like a diverse team. Yeah. You don't want to have everybody using the same element. So you want to have like a healer, you want to have a brawler, you want to have a magic caster, somebody who, you know.
Well, and she had limit breaks that were like heals too, right?
Right.
Like, I remember that now, her. Cause like, cause it had materia. And like, I had never played six before I played seven. At least not much.
Yeah.
And so I found the materia system kind of weird because I was like, you can give anyone any spell at any time just by equipping materia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I've come to appreciate. Now I've come to kind of appreciate that system a little more.
Yeah.
Cause like, dude, I like, I don't know about you, but like, being the age that I was when that game came out, I had nothing better to do. I would lay in my room for hours and just listen to music and just grind to try to like level up all my materia and master all my materia and everything.
Especially my second playthrough. My first playthrough, like I said, I streamlined it. I tried to, I just wanted the story. Yeah. I just was like hungry for the story. I wanted to know what was going on, even though I, you know, didn't really quite understand everything. And like there's subtle nuances, like, you know, Jehovah is one of the, you know, they kind of like do throwbacks to Japanese lore, to Christian lore, or Jehovah Witness lore, but Christian lore, you know, Jehovah being the God figure. And
right.
So they have, and like Sephiroth's sword is called Manimune or Masamune or whatever, which is like an ancient Japanese sword. It's supposed to, there's a lore to that.
Right.
Right. I don't quite know it now, but I think when I was at that age, I probably looked it up and was like, oh, wow, you know, they're drawing from all of these real life things,
even though
they're not even real life things.
Right.
They're just like folklore.
They really do a good job of making Sephiroth about to be like, I'm a god and I want to be a god. And
his final form, even, like, oh man,
yeah,
that was badass.
And you have to unite this team to go get him. The materia thing was cool, because you were right. It was kind of like, the only reason Iris was my healer was because she had those limit breaks that healed.
Right.
And like, it's kind of sexist maybe, but like back in those days, that's what the girl was. The girl was the healer, right? Right. Like that's what you did.
Tifa wasn't.
Tifa was badass. Yeah. That was cool. And I was something I found really cool too, because I'd never really seen that in a game where they, because I mean, like playing Final Fantasy II, you had Rosa and she was just like the damsel in distress healer.
Yeah.
And Mario RPG, Princess Peach or Toadstool, whatever, was the healer.
Right. Right.
And in Final Fantasy VII, Tifa like didn't even use weapons. Like she used like martial arts was like her weapon.
Yeah,
and her
she
limit
just
break
beat
was
the
like
crap out of people.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was so cool that they had this huge muscular guy in Barret, and instead Tifa's the one that punches and kicks.
Yeah. And you know, it was still might have been a little bit sexist because she had huge jugs.
Yeah,
and
she
they,
sure did.
They played that up.
Like huge triangle jugs.
Yeah. She's jumping, doing that. You're like, yeah, we won that fight.
But so, yeah, no, like it was. The characters are cool. I really like the materia system. The storyline, albeit a little bit confusing,
yeah,
was fun.
The materia system too, like the combos you could achieve with them, like with the mimic materia. Yeah. I think there was one where you would do like a last cast. I think I might be just mixing up the mimic one, but I remember when. The second playthrough when I had like Knights of the Round, the final Bahamut, and I forget what else I would cast with it, but there were three that I would cast and it would be like 15 minutes of watching.
Oh, fuck.
Well, that's actually a huge drawback to the game. You're doing the Knights of the Round and you're like...
That you can't skip the summons is really frustrating. Because I remember reading about... okay, for the record, how the fuck anyone found Knights of the Round to then explain it to all of us? I have no idea. And I feel like that with a lot of like RPGs and those types of games, I'm like, how the fuck did you find this?
Oh yeah,
like in Final Fantasy VI, where you have to let those things eat you to go into the dimension to find Go-Go, I'm like, how the fuck would you have ever found this? And in Final Fantasy VII,
by
anyone,
accident, you would have been a trash player.
You would
have
had to.
Oh, I lost to them.
Because in Final Fantasy VII, you had to end up with a gold chocobo, which was a process and a half, and then take the gold chocobo to get to that little island to get the Knights of the Round.
Yeah.
I have no fucking idea how anyone ever found that out.
My friend Thomas told me to do that, and like I was like, oh
yeah,
because I didn't, like I said, the first playthrough I missed all of the final limit breaks. I actually might have had one because you have to get it.
Well, Clouds, you're almost inevitably going to get just by leveling up because you use them so much.
Right. And I think I got Clouds and that was it. I don't remember clearly, but I remember like when I showed my buddy, I was like, oh, I beat it. And he was like, you're level 67. Like, you're a fart in the wind. Like,
yeah.
How did you beat Sephiroth? I was like, oh, it took me like 10 hours. I tried a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You played the perfect game. Like,
yeah, when I beat it, everyone was 99, but I had the guide.
Right. Well, and the next time I played through, I had the guide. Sure. And my buddy told me how to get the Knights of the Round. I think there was one where...
Because there's the weapons you have to fight. You don't have to fight, but you can fight.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, again, I'm sure there's someone that's more of a diehard Fantasy VII guy that's like, fuck you guys. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm sure that with one of the weapons, I remember you cast... You could get something where you could cast four spells. And you cast Knights of the Round four times and then mimic it.
It was the mimic... was one way to do it. There was the, like I said, the last cast, I think. So like you'd have somebody cast with mimic. So you'd cast like Knights of the Round and they would mimic it. And then you'd have a person who would like mimic that.
And it would just be like pow, 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 pow. But then you could like put the controller down and walk away, right? And come back.
15 minutes later.
But then there was another weapon. And I don't, maybe it was the same one, but I don't think so. Were you like, you wanted to go in with two guys dead? And one guy like maxed out on something to make him strong enough to do. I don't remember.
No, I never did that.
It was fucking. There was so many little, like, it was a huge game, and there was so many little things that I'm like, maybe I don't have the patience. Maybe I don't have the understanding or the knowledge to do it. I have no idea how people figured some of this stuff out.
Well, I had different ways to play through. That's the replayability, right?
Yeah,
it's learning how to do stuff like that. That was one of the things where like my buddy Thomas played a lot of it, and we would just go back and forth. And like one of the things he would do where I was like, oh, I don't have the time to do that, where you could jump off the train right at the beginning, he'd grind those two soldiers and just like the first instance where you could fight, he would sit there and just grinding to get his limit break up, to get tonics, so he'd have like by the time he fought that first boss, he'd have 99 tonics. Like,
why?
You are autistic.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
what
have
is
that
your
kind
problem,
of patience,
man?
At all. Fuck that. And I like to grind, and I loved like Final Fantasy VII. I grinded more than any game because of the materia.
Yeah,
I grinded so much because I had to master all the materia.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But like it was like I say, I would put music on and just lay in my room as like a 14-year-old kid and just fucking grind and grind and grind. Well, I don't have the patience to do that now.
No.
But, like, to do that, that sounds morbid to me. Like, fucking...
And, like, to be fair, watch, you know, I'd go to his place and see his characters and be like, oh, you're way higher level. Yeah. And we'd be at the same like point in the sure. main storyline. Sure. I'd be like, oh yeah, I see why I suck. Like, I understand. You are way better at this than I am.
I just never understood how people find all the stuff they find in those fucking games. And then like, this was the first one I'd ever, the first RPG I'd ever played where there were missable characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the instruction book said something about that. You may not even get all of them, but it didn't tell you which ones you may not get.
Right.
And I ended up getting all of them.
Yeah. But, and first playthrough, I got all of them as well. Yeah. So.
But I thought that was so cool. Like the concept of like missing a player altogether. Like,
yeah.
Like that never happened before. I mean, I guess it happened in Final Fantasy VI kind of, because you could like miss a couple of characters and kill Shadow. But
yeah,
I never experienced
so,
it.
So, and that feeling of loss from losing a character, right? Oh. So the first time I experienced it was with Final Fantasy VI, with losing Shadow. And my buddy Tony was like, oh, you just have to do this and you get it back. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? But with 7, like, you don't get her back.
No, and I was like, I was so convinced that there had to be a way. And then like, and then fucking, especially in those days, like anyone that's younger is listening to this is like, you guys are stupid. But back then,
like you didn't lose a character.
No, and the internet, dude, like when you would Google, like, can you change to be revived?
I don't think there was Google yet.
Or yeah, I guess
you
not.
Would have Yahoo'd.
Yahoo'd, you're right, Yahoo'd.
Yeah. Google wasn't even like a catchphrase.
You're
yet.
Right. It's true, because I was like one of the last people to transfer off Yahoo. Even when Google was big, I was like, I'm a Yahoo guy. And then finally I was like, yeah. It's Google.
I think Yahoo, one of their like dying, their like company's like death rattles was they paid Gossip Girls or Charmed or one of those WB shows to, instead of dropping like, oh, just Google it. Yahoo it.
But yeah, you're right. It's what it was. It was Yahoo. And there were so many rumors about how you could revive her. You had to get 99 tissues and then go do this. You had to go get some key that would get you back into Midgar where you could dig up something.
And those were on those like janky HTML sites where it was like a solid color background, you know, solid, a single color text. And that was the webpage. It was just like text and a background.
Yeah.
There wasn't like, you know, hot links that you click onto that lead you to different. And it wasn't like any kind of flash art. Like it was literally text in a background.
Yeah. And like, and there were so many different rumors, man. And then it came out basically they were all fake eventually. Although like, I'm still not 100% certain. I want to say there's still a way you can revive her in the Japanese version.
No, I don't know.
But I don't know. Or they wanted to put that in.
It was one of those crossroads where the director was like, nope.
So do you wish they, because I kind of wish that they had put it in. I think it would have made make it totally optional, but it would have been another cool thing to add to the game.
So I had a hamster at the time, right? And losing Aerith caught me lost. So then when my hamster died, I was like, oh, this is a thing that happens in life too. This is something in a storytelling medium that I have been faced with, you know, as a developing youth, right? And so then when it came to losing my hamster in real life, I was like, oh, okay, like that's what loss is. You know, you grieve. And like, I grieved over Earth. Like,
I think a lot of people did. That was a big deal, man.
It was the first time I was upset about losing someone.
Yeah.
And like, I was attached to her. Like when you're watching TV as a kid, you're watching for half an hour. You don't really develop an attachment to those characters. When you're playing a game for 60, 70 hours.
Yeah, you may have 40 hours plus in by the time she dies.
Yeah, I think it was about that, right?
Like, you know, if you did a lot of exploring and stuff like that, you could be like, I mean, dude, if you took the time to fucking max her out, which I'm sure lots of people did, and then she died?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I would have been sad or angry because I put so much time into it. She's gone.
Right. And I think like the first disc is the biggest disc. Like that's the most.
Yeah.
So, you know, you probably spend the most time out of the other two discs. Right?
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure by the second disc, like you have all the characters going into the second disc because you have them all when Ares dies.
Do you have the airship yet?
I think, because like you get it with Cid, don't you?
Yeah.
So then it's a lot of like, the second disc is mostly like exploring.
So then the world's opened up. That's what it is. The linear story, it's less of the linear story and the world's opened up more.
And then I think 3 is basically just going to fight Sephiroth. Like it's basically
weapons, right?
And the weapons, yeah.
Yeah.
But when she died, it was like, I was so sure you could bring her back. And then, I remember. Do you remember that there's, and this is true, this really is in the game. There's like a fucking 2-second clip where you go to like her old church and like her sprite is there and then it disappears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I don't know why it's
the memory of her or whatever. Right?
But that was why everyone was like, dude, look, like you can,
her spirit's still there.
You can't bring her back. And like, I remember seeing like screenshots of her being back, but it was from Game Shark shit or something. Cause you could get Sephiroth to join your team with Game Sharks.
Yeah.
Do all kinds of things like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Yeah. I would have been doing that.
Yeah.
Move over, Cloud.
But like, why? Sephiroth, so, like, you get Sephiroth to join you, and then you go and fight Sephiroth with Sephiroth?
Yeah. Be easy, really.
Fuck.
It's like Link fighting Shadow Link. Like, it just.
I guess so. Sephiroth is. I don't put him ahead of Kefka, but I do think Sephiroth is. He's more badass than Kefka. Kefka's more sinister.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, there's. Because Kefka is just a straight up dick.
What?
Sephiroth, like, there's.
Well, Kefka's motives are like world domination, sure. And you know, suppress. He's tyrannical, right?
Yeah.
Sephiroth is your like atypical bad guy whose only goal is like destruction. So,
but you can kind of sympathize with him,
right?
Because he realizes that he's like a science experiment, right? Like,
right.
And he realizes
it's revenge.
Yeah. Right? And so, like, and I feel like that to this day. Like, I wanted to beat him because I want to beat the game.
Right.
But I never had the motivation to kill him like I did Kefka because right. I was like... Because
you can empathize with Sephiroth, yeah. Right? So, and I think revenge is something that is a feeling that people like can have in their day-to-day lives. Like anybody can empathize with that, but like domination, tyrannical domination, that's harder to empathize with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Saddam Hussein maybe was like, oh, this Kefka guy? He's got it going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but the average person to like have grandiose designs of, you know, world domination and, you know, playing the Game of Thrones like that, like duplicitous behavior like that. I don't know. Most people don't empathize with that.
No, And then I was
And that's why, you know, villains like Sephiroth are, I think, better than Kefka because you can empathize with them. You see them as like, oh, I could go that way.
Yeah,
like
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. Just like in Mega Man X, like the Mavericks, it's like they feel oppressed. I could go that way.
It's like, and I don't entirely remember because it's been a long time, but like I'm positive there's parts of Final Fantasy VII where they're just like, they almost like are trying to tell Sephiroth like, yo, like chill out. Like that sucks that happened to you, but like relax.
Yeah.
And Sephiroth's like, no, fuck all of you guys. Like
he burns a village. And at that point, I think it's like, ah, fuck.
That's the scene where like, cause he burns that village.
And there's a cutscene with the fire.
Where he's walking through the fire and he's so cool. Like, Cause I remember that too. Cause they do the flashback part when you get to that, what town is that? Is it Nibelheim?
Yeah.
There's a flashback where you get to that and you actually get to control Sephiroth.
Yeah.
As this superpower, like you get to control him and Cloud. Cloud's like a pussy,
yes.
But Sephiroth like has all this magic and he's such a badass.
And I think his sword, like he's already doing 9,
yeah,
you know, top damage. Right?
I think that's a really cool scene because that's a good way of making it. Really puts into perspective to you just how powerful this guy is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that was really well done. They give you just 5 minutes to play as him, just to be like, holy fuck!
And
like,
it's not even his final form. You're kind of like when you see him later in the game, you're like, oh, okay, now he's
It's a great game, man. The Sephiroth is cool. I really like the characters. I love the Turks. I think the Turks are so cool.
Yeah.
They remind me of like a more badass Team Rocket.
Yeah.
Like, because they're not.
For sure.
They're kind of like, I think they could have made them a little funnier, but I think they're trying to, I get what they're trying to do with them. Like,
well, so they made the like members of, what was the Eco Terror? Avalanche?
Avalanche.
Yeah. So they made the members of Avalanche a little goofier And then I think they tried to make the Turks a little more badass because they are kind of like your main antagonist at the beginning.
Yeah. I love the music that plays when they show up and they're all in suits. Like they're so cool.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, and they look cool. They have that, like, you could tell. So if you ever see, like, you know, cool Japanese kids who are on Harajuku Street where they have their hair done like that, you could tell, like, they're sprites, like you were saying earlier. Like, you see their sprites and you're like, they're badass. Yeah. They're cool.
The Turks are really cool, man. Yeah. The Turks are cool. Avalanche. Yeah. Avalanche is cool enough, I guess.
Yeah. They're eco-terrorists. How cool can they be?
Sephiroth is dope. I really enjoyed the whole storyline about how, like, Shinra's destroying the planet to, like, get this money. And then Sephiroth comes along and, like, Shinra, like, you're right. Shinra knows they're destroying the planet, but they're like, well, we're going to get really rich. It's going to take a long time.
Right.
Sephiroth's like, nah, let's just do it now.
Yeah.
And that's when Shinra's like, whoa. And, like, I thought that was so cool, the way that they really do a good job of making the entire world be like, we have to stop this guy. Like, everyone puts their differences aside. He needs to be stopped now.
That's a really cool theme for, if you juxtapose it with today's, like, current state, right? Like, that's so ahead of its time. Because in 97, people weren't worried about that. Like, people were a little bit like, oh, the oil's going to run out.
Right.
Global warming wasn't a catchphrase yet. Like,
sure.
Lots of that stuff wasn't really on the radar. Like, I think the fallout from, like, oh, the Russians, you know, was still a thing, but worried about that kind of stuff, that wasn't a thing. And now, like, how ahead of time is that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know, I think that's a good storytelling medium when you have something that's gonna, you know, it's like The Simpsons when they predict the future. Like, it's like, you got good writers if people are able to, like, look at current events and then project something that's gonna happen.
They do a great job of like, really making it seem urgent. Like, we all have to get this fucking guy. And then I just thought of it just quickly. Probably my favorite part of that entire video game is where you're breaking out of Shinra and Cloud hops on the motorcycle. And he's like,
that is the best.
He's so badass. Like,
so I liked that. I liked the tower defense where you are defending that town, right?
Yeah.
I hated the snowboarding. Because I actually snowboarded and I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, the snowboarding, the games at the Golden Saucer sucked.
Yeah.
Like, at the time, it was maybe they were trying to be cool, but most of them sucked.
That's what I felt like, though. I felt like they were, like, the motorcycling, it felt like it was part of the story and it was really cool.
That really established Cloud as, like, this badass dude.
Right. But the snowboarding, I felt like it would have been like if they made him skateboard or something. I was like, you're just throwing that in there. Like, he's a freaking soldier. Like, I get that he can ride a bike. He's a badass. But I don't know.
Yeah. I felt like the motorcycle part, and I didn't really thought of this till just now, but, like, I feel like part of that motorcycle scene is a really good way to establish that Cloud is the leader and not Barrett.
Yeah.
Because at that point, Barrett leads Avalanche and Barrett's kind of trying to tell Cloud what to do. And Cloud's like, oh, as long as you'll pay me, I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really feel
I'll
like
even dress in drag and try to seduce the mob
right?
boss.
Which is fucking I didn't even understand that as, like, a kid playing it. Now I'm like, holy fuck, you.
It's affected you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has.
Echoed through your development.
That's fucked up. But but that motorcycle scene is the scene where you realize, like, Cloud's the guy. Like, everyone shut up. Follow him. He'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think it just showed the inadequacies. Like, Barrett was thinking small time. Like, he's like, oh, we got to stop, you know, this company. And then Cloud's like, I can carry the weight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the guy.
Do you know who
I
am?
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool. So they're remaking it.
Yeah.
And I know that you're right. They've talked about it for years, but now it's like.
Well, they remastered it at one point. Like, they had I think it was Eidos or whatever. They had a computer version that was remastered where everybody had, like, the sprites had mouths and I don't know. They even had, like, they had one that was put out where it was the same game, so they didn't redo anything really. They redid all the characters though, so all the backgrounds were the same, but you had, like, really detailed characters running around.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. It looked a little campy though, because sometimes they would, like, some of the cutscenes where it was like a half cutscene,
right?
It would revert to the old, like, character sprites.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing like this remake is gonna be.
No.
This remake
will be huge.
I'm like. A lot of people are just already shitting on it because they're changing the combat and they're saying it's going to be episodes and all this stuff. Yeah. I'm like, I can look past the changing combat if the new combat is good.
Yeah.
Like, I think that what people need to remember is, like, the whole reason most people wanted a Final Fantasy VII remake is to see these characters look the way they wanted them to look, but
just
didn't
have the means
to do. It's a
visual thing. It's not necessarily change the gameplay. It's not change the story. It's you just want it to be visually contemporary.
What I'm worried about is, I mean, I'll be honest, like, half of me is, I guess I'm a little skeptical it's ever going to come out. At this point, I think they almost have to let it come out because they've announced it. And if they just if they came out and canceled it, people would be like, "What the fuck?"
Just release Final Fantasy, you know, the X 10.
Yeah,
whatever. Because they're on what, X 3 right now.
I don't fucking I don't like Final Fantasy X. but they that fucking Cloud Titus can go fuck himself. But like like they're saying it's gonna be like episodes,
yeah,
because it's too big of game.
I get that.
See, I don't, dude. It's not that big of game. Well, like, how much are you adding?
It depends on how they redo it. Because like one of the reasons why they were able to do the game the way they did it before was because of the pre-rendered background. So if they have the backgrounds be more interactive and more three-dimensional and have the characters moving through these, so they're not just like making a 3D game, quote unquote, like air quotes there.
Yeah.
But making a game that, because they basically cheated having a 3D game by having 2D backgrounds and 3D characters run over it. But if they're making a true 3D game, it'll be quite a bit bigger.
But like, there's some big, like, you can't tell me it's going to be bigger than Fallout or bigger than fucking like Skyrim or something like that, or like Breath of the Wild or any of those.
So I don't know how big Breath of the Wild is, but I don't think it'll be bigger than those other ones.
I don't think it will
Maybe Fallout, bigger than Fallout 3, because Fallout 3 is a small map.
Sure. Now let me state for the record that I don't know anything about developing video games. Yeah. So maybe I'm completely talking out of my ass completely. I just hope that it's not them looking at it like, if we split this into three or four chapters, we can sell $70 game four times, because no one is going to buy one and then not be like, oh, I gotta get the rest now. Like, you're going to get them all.
It's a Shinra move. They need to change their company name.
They're Shinra.
Yeah.
So like, I hope that that's not what it is. I like, everyone's fucking shitting on it, being like, this, oh, they're changing this, and it's gonna be Final Fantasy 13 but with the Final Fantasy 7 characters and stuff, and like,
at least it's not Final Fantasy 8.
Yeah. I like, I'm like, yo, everyone just like calm your tits and let's just see how this game turns out. If it sucks, you still have the original and you can go back and play it. And if you're that fucking hard on for a remake because you're like, oh, you know, the original doesn't hold up that well, then maybe the original wasn't as good as you remember, because 9 is almost as old as 7.
Yeah.
And 9's never been remade.
No.
And I will sit right here and tell you that 9 has stood the test of time. And
it has. It looks great. Yeah, it looks great. It's fun to play.
So if you're that adamant that a remake is necessary because 7 doesn't hold up, then maybe 7 never was quite that good.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people look at Final Fantasy 7 and remember it because of what it did at the time.
Yeah.
And they're not willing to admit that, like, it's the same as like, I can't wait to do an episode of this. I've said this on episodes before. I cannot wait to do an episode of this show about Mario 64,
because
I shit all over that game. And I feel like with Final Fantasy 7, to me, in a way, is the PlayStation's Mario 64.
Yeah.
They brought people to the house and they showed them what they could do, and it was RPG and 3D and wow.
Yeah. Okay.
But like, we've found ways to do it much better since then. And it, like, it was revolutionary at the time, but I don't know if that translates into, I mean, I haven't played it. I should play it again. Maybe I'm just forgetting some stuff because I haven't played it in so long.
Well, and I think, like, in the time that it came out, you know, it's a little bit campy, right? Like Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy VI, these are games that are rooted in fantasy, so they translate actually a lot better. Final Fantasy VII doesn't translate very well in a lot of aspects, and it's rooted more in like contemporary Japanese culture,
right?
And less in like a fantasy setting, which is fantasy is kind of like a universal genre, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily hold the test of time very well or translate well.
Seven was the right game at the right time on the right system that they marketed properly, that made everyone think it was so cool, and everyone looks back on it with such rose-colored glasses, and it's a fine game. It's one of the better Final Fantasies. It's a fine game.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know. I do feel like it's slightly overrated. I think it gets a bump based on what it accomplished at its time. But I'm like, if you're going to sit here and tell me that it's better than either Super Nintendo 1, Final Fantasy, this is a whole other argument we could have. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so as far as the remake goes, I hope it's good. If it's not, we have the original. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay, enjoy the original.
I prefer the original, personally, because I like the boxy sprites. I think it looks great.
Sure.
And like it, I don't know, I wouldn't fuck around with it, just because, other than porting it onto a system I could play on right now, right?
That's it. Everyone's getting so upset about this remake, and it's like, well, if you don't like it, just play the original.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And I don't know. I've completely gone on a tie. I've completely lost my train of thought. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Other than
unless they made it so
overrated.
You could resurrect Aerith.
That's right. Okay, so that was the last question I was going to ask you. Okay, before I ask you to rank it, we'll get out of here because we're at a long podcast. Do you think that they put a Revive Aeris in this one?
I would, but I wouldn't tell anybody.
I sure hope they do.
I would, and I wouldn't tell anybody, and I'd have like just even like go to look back at some of the old like how you mm-hmm. do it and have like if, one of those in there.
If they release it as one game as opposed to a bunch of chapters, if they do release it as one game and their last teaser or something before it all comes, because everyone knows that she dies. Like yeah, they don't yeah. have to hide that, right?
Right?
If they just drop some form of hint of a revival before they, like in the last commercial or something, the right. last ad, they'll sell another million copies.
Oh yeah, I'd buy it again.
I would buy
a system to get it.
Me too. Right. I would buy it for that. I mean, I'll play it for sure, but I would buy it for that, yeah. like unquestionably.
So before we do the ranking, mm-hmm. what was your main party that you would have?
Cloud, of course.
Yeah.
Cid,
yeah,
because I love him. And Tifa, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. What about right. you?
I would do Cloud, Red, and Tifa. I loved Tifa.
Tifa, me too. Yeah. Tifa's my, she's my favorite female Final Fantasy character of all time.
Yeah.
Is Tifa. She's dope.
And I hated doing that because her weapon, like everybody's weapon changes, right?
Yeah.
And hers was hard to see all the time.
Yeah.
It's just her gloves.
Yeah. It wasn't but as cool.
It wasn't as cool. It wasn't like, well, same with the dog. Actually, I picked all the champs. Right? Their weapons didn't really change.
Cloud was also like the one main character in one of these games that you, because you know, in a lot of those games, you always had that one character in your party. Like in 10, I think you always had to use Titus or whatever yeah. the fuck his name was. And yeah. in 2, you always had Cecil.
Yeah.
And in this one, you always had to use Cloud. But he was the one that I was like, I'm okay with that. I yeah. like him. The game just doesn't work without him.
Yeah.
I was like, he's cool. He's strong. He's like, more so than in any game, they do a great job of establishing, like, he's the guy. Everyone get behind him. Like,
yeah.
let's go.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And they don't start him out like that.
No, they don't.
They build him up into it.
They right? do. Like, he gradually becomes the hero you need kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so out of 10, what would you give Final Fantasy VII? All things considered.
I'd give it an 8. Yeah, because like I said, it was the reason I bought a PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
The music was great. It was, like, a cool game. Like,
it was a cool game.
As far as, like, a Final Fantasy, I felt like it was different than the Final Fantasies and the other Squaresoft games. Like I you know, and I wanted like a fantasy game, so then having motorcycles and helicopters and gun arms, I was like, what the fuck
yeah.
is going on?
Yeah,
like,
it was weird.
Blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it was different. And I liked that. But in the same respect, like you said, if people want to change it so badly and it's gonna hurt it that it doesn't look cooler, you know, then was it really that good of a game?
Yeah. Just...
And it didn't translate well. There was often times where I was like, that didn't make sense.
The story, to this day, without looking it up, the story's confusing.
Yeah.
The whole story between Cloud, Zack, and Sephiroth is very confusing to
and
this day.
I think that might partially be due to translation.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it just, it doesn't translate very well. It might be something that's like a old, you know, like an old Japanese style story,
yeah.
but then when you westernize it, we're like, what the fuck? It's not
yeah.
two cowboys meeting in the center of town at high noon?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I'll give it a 7.5.
Right.
It's fine. It's not. It's just not the best Final Fantasy. It's not. It's just same as Mario 64. People
yeah.
look at it with rose-colored glasses because of what it was, and I understand that. But it's not all that. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Except for Cid. Cid's the fucking best.
Yeah. Well, he's the universal Final Fantasy character.
He's
Mr. Universe.
He's the best universe. Yeah. Okay, that was a long... Final Fantasy ones have been the longest episodes.
They're long games.
They are long games. There's a lot to talk about with them. And the other ones always come up. Thanks for coming over, buddy.
Yeah, for sure.
It's good. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Remember the Game. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I'm very curious to know where you would rank Final Fantasy VII in your Final Fantasy ranks. So if you got this far into the podcast, please leave a comment on wherever you're watching it. You know, or next time you see me, talk to me. I'm very interested to know where it slots in for you. This was one of the most requested games when I started promoting the podcast. So I hope it lived up to the hype. I hope you enjoyed the chat between Tyler and I. And that's it. I'm going to get out of here. I will be back next week with another episode of Remember the Game. Thank you guys so much. If you like the podcast, please subscribe to it and leave a good review and blah, blah, blah. You know how it works. Take it easy, you guys. Bye.